in the 12th chapter of the Gospel of John. We'll begin reading in verse number 20. And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which is of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and Philip tell Jesus. And Jesus answered them, saying, The hour is come, that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it. He that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? But for this hour, or for this cause, came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Then there came a voice from heaven, saying, I have both glorified it, and will glorify it again. The people therefore that stood by and heard it, said that it thundered. Others said, an angel spake to him. Jesus answered and said, The voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he should die. The people answered him, We have heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever. And how sayest thou, The Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? Then Jesus said unto them, Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While you have light, believe in the light, that you may be the children of light. These things spake Jesus, and departed, and did hide himself from them. Brother Mike, would you pray for us?
Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning. Lord, we thank you for bringing us here together to hear your word this morning. Lord, we ask that you give us your spirit to understand and develop it to God. And Lord, I ask that you be with us also this morning. Lord, give them courage, give them articulation, and clarity of thought, Lord, so that God, we may hear your word and help understand. Lord, I ask that those who are listening by phone this morning, that they also be edified by what they do this morning. Lord, we thank you for this day once again and thank you for this time. This time together with what we have to do this morning.
Amen. Let me see them. May I not get in the way this morning of the text? I said, may I not get in the way of the text this morning? It's possible anytime we are here to preach that we can do that. Certainly not our desire to confuse anything, but we ask that the Lord would speak and magnify his word unto us. As Brother Mike said, give us ears to hear. Verse number 32 is our verse this morning that we'll spend our time looking into. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he should die. I think being lifted up here goes beyond the inches or feet that the Lord was lifted up upon the cross above the earth. I think the lifted up here finds its final fulfillment. And is even as we've been looking at the Lord saying, My soul is troubled, and now the judgment, judgment's come, the prince of this world be cast out. You know, his view from where he is right at this moment when he's speaking is a longer view. And if we take a longer view of this verse and we say, what is the fulfillment of this verse? Does it find its fulfillment simply in the cross? Does it find its fulfillment simply in the Lord being crucified? Or does it go beyond that, and does it find its fulfillment in the Lord being seated at the right hand of the Father? I think so. I think when we look at this verse of Scripture, we need to look at it beyond the immediate, which the immediate's necessary. The immediate is the hour which he's coming to. The immediate is what he's saying, shall I say, Father, save me from this hour? No, for this hour I've come. That's there. They're both in view. But the longer view certainly is him being seated at the right hand of the Father on high, as Luke 22:69 says, hereafter shall the Son of Man sit on the right hand of the power of God. It's that place that you know, Stephen, you know, saw him. Mm-hmm. He's there at the right hand of the Father. So being lifted up from the earth goes beyond being crucified upon the cross. It involves his ascension into glory. It's the thing that the disciples watched begin to happen as he left this earth, as they watched him, and the angel said, you know, why are you looking up to heaven? He'll come in like manner, you know, once again. Probably didn't look at it this morning because I sent it from here, which was probably about maybe 2 hours before y'all got here. But Brother Mac had sent, if you didn't get it directly from him, had sent an email, forwarded an email that, where's my mind? Bob Jennings had, I guess, either sent to him or I'm not sure where exactly it came from. Makes me kind of hope that that's the subject matter maybe that Brother Jennings will speak on at camp, you know, but it was on the second coming. So there was two different emails. I know, Brother Dean, you don't have an email. If you'd like to read it, I'll be glad to print it out for you. I sent it in two parts. It's not real long, either part, but some good thoughts, you know, that are there. So if you'd like to read that, it should be in your inbox. But it makes me think of that email when I think about the ascension, you know, of our Lord and the angels, you know, saying he's going to come, you know, in like manner that you see, have seen him depart. The second coming that we await. You know, here's the first coming that we've been studying. Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And in all the encounters with the Pharisees where they have not seen, you know, that he is the light of the world. They've not seen that he is the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. They've not seen that he is the Christ in the first coming. And then, of course, we have in view in our day, in our time that we live, our Lord's coming once again. So back to the thought that we were thinking upon beyond verse 32, we're in John chapter 12. I know some have just gotten here. John chapter 12, verse number 32. So going beyond the Lord's being crucified on the cross when he said, I being lifted up from the earth, involves his ascension into glory, his finished work in view, our sins atoned for, God's judgment satisfied, him being seated at the right hand of the Father. And the second, you know, part there, will draw all men unto me, for any that find themselves under condemnation, under conviction, that see Christ. You know, this is something certainly that has a drawing effect as the Father draws us unto the cross, as we find ourselves under conviction. This is conviction that God's brought. We see ourselves in our sins, and we see ourselves in need of a Savior. Here's the Savior. If I be lifted up, we'll draw all men. It's his work upon the cross, from his death upon the cross to his burial to his resurrection, the finished, you know, work of our atonement, accepted by the Father, having entered into the Holy of Holies, having sprinkled his own blood, as it were, upon the mercy seat, and having sat down at the right hand of the Father. This, and so we've kind of spoke for a moment there on, if I be lifted up from the earth, taking the long view, seeing beyond the cross. The second part will draw, you know, all men unto me. I think this drawing here It's the idea of a fisherman's net. You know, the fish don't just jump into the net. The fish don't come unto the net. They're not anxious to get caught. Fish aren't. At least none that I've ever seen. Now you see some of those YouTube videos where guys going down the, you know, he's maybe doing 40 or 50 miles an hour and this fish jumps in the boat, or guys are sitting there, you know, fishing and the fish jumps in the boat or something. That's not a common thing. And it was quite by accident, I assure you, on the part of the fish that that took place. So fish don't just jump into a net. Fish are drawn by the net. They're drawn by the net. Every fish in the sea, as the disciples threw their net over the side, not drawn into the net. But fish are caught in it. In other words, they're apprehended by the net. That's the thought that we have here when we talk about drawing. And that word apprehending is actually a word that Paul uses of his own conversion, isn't it? That he was apprehended, you know, by the gospel, even. And that's the thought that we have here. And if you are in Christ this morning, it's because you've been apprehended, because you've been caught in the net. You know, you may see from your side of things, you may say, well, you know, I wanted to be caught. I came to Christ. You only came because you were drawn. It's the only reason that you came. If you hadn't been drawn, you would have never come. Just like no fish ever desires to be caught in a net. So does the cross of Christ have a drawing effect, you know, upon you? Well, if you're a Christian, or if you are being drawn by God, if you're being given an ear to hear, if your heart has been opened, as Lydia's was, as Paul was preaching there by the side of the water, then yes, the cross has a drawing effect. Outside of that, it'll never draw. Outside of that, it's an instrument of death. Outside of that, there's nothing attractive about it. But it is, as you've already thought, I'm sure, talking about the word draw, John 6:44 says that no man can come unto me, the Lord says, except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up the last day. The Lord says, I will draw all men unto me. So the Lord's the one that's drawing, and what's he drawing to? He's drawing to himself. He's drawing unto himself. The Father, you know, the Lord says, I draw, but it's the same. The Father's drawing, he's drawing unto himself. Only those whom the Father draws will come, can come. It is to the Lord himself, to the cross of Christ, or we might say to the Christ of the cross, that men are being drawn to a crucified Savior. Men are convicted. Use men in the broad sense of the word, mankind, men, women, boys, girls, young, old. Drawn to a crucified Savior because of our need of a Savior. Drawn to him who suffered and bled and died that we might live. So again, we ask the question, is there any attraction for you to the cross? It has repelled many. It repelled many in our Lord's day. And it has drawn many others like a magnet. You know, we use the analogy of a net. Well, here's a magnet. Sort of an idea too. Does his being lifted up have any draw upon you? Some it repels. Others it draws. We encountered this thought of drawing earlier in our study of the Gospel of John. Some of you may remember. In John chapter 3, and verse number 14, this idea, rather not of being drawn, but this idea of being lifted up, the Son of Man being lifted up. We'll go back now that we've kind of skimmed over the surface of those thoughts that are here within our text in John 12:32. Go back to the thought of our Lord being lifted up. John 3:14 said, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up." You remember that Israel had been bitten of the fiery serpents. They had sinned against the Lord, and God sent therefore fiery serpents among them, bit many of the people. Many of them had died. Others confessed their sin, asked that this fiery serpents might be taken away from them. And God commanded Moses that a fiery serpent might be set upon a pole, a brazen pole, and those that looked upon it should live. So we have both ideas within this thing that happened there to the children of Israel in the wilderness, in the desert. We have this pole being lifted up, Christ, the parallel being drawn, even as Moses lifted up the pole in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up. And then we have the drawing effect as well. This pole's lifted up, these people have been bitten, they're going to die. And they're drawn to this pole that God says, look unto that you might live. Of course, the parallel there being also Christ being lifted up, Christ being looked unto that we might, live. You remember we talked about the fact that all men have been bitten. All men have, just like these fiery serpents among the children of Israel, had bitten them. They had this venom within them. This venomous curse has entered into our blood, and we are in danger of death because of its sting. We looked at that last week and the week before. And our Lord's looking at the victory that He would win through His death upon the cross and the prince of this world being cast out and death, having no more victory over us, the grave having no more victory over us, but its sting being removed, because the sting is sin, and sin being removed by Him upon the cross. So God gave the Lord Jesus Christ, just as this serpent was put on the pole in the wilderness, God gave our Lord to be set upon a pole, as it were, upon the cross itself, that those who look unto Him might what? They might live, just like those in the wilderness. So here we have Satan in the last verse we looked at, the prince of this world being cast out. Satan, the hater of God, the hater of His image, which man was created in, sought to corrupt and destroy that image. And then we have 1 John 3, verse 8, saying, for this cause, the Son of God was manifested that He might destroy the works of the devil. We talked about that, last week. But because of that corruption that entered in, and the deadly poison of sin that has entered into man's bloodstream, it will kill, sooner or later, everyone sooner or later, it will kill. Kills all men. Death is removed for the one who looks unto the Lord that they might live. God made Him sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. But it takes divine intervention. Son of Man's lifted up. And He says, I will draw all men unto myself. It takes divine intervention, doesn't it? It's like, you remember with Paul in Acts, we were going through the study in the book of Acts, and he was gathering the wood and put the wood upon the flame, and the viper came out and latched upon his hand, and all the men were standing around looking, saying, hey, he's going to swell up and die. We're just waiting for it. There's no way this man's going to live. That kind of snake he was just bit by. And there's no way that he can overcome such a venomous bite and sting as that. And he didn't swell up, and he didn't die. Why? Because of divine intervention. Because God intervened. And sin will kill each and every one of us, except God intervenes. How has God intervened? He sent His Son to be set up on this pole, to be lifted up on the cross, as it were, that we might look unto Him, and live. God must intervene. He must also draw. So we see those components, within this verse of Scripture. Not many of you, not something that you don't already know. Some other people, this is territory they kind of still wrestle with. Can you remember wrestling with it? Can you remember wrestling with God drew me? I thought I came to Christ. We kind of see things, backwards from the order that they really are. We think it's us when all along it was Him that was drawing us, with the cords, and bands of love, as it were, unto Himself, drawing us in as that net, as it were. As a fisherman draws the net into, we don't know a whole lot about that. I don't know how many of you have done that before, but I can remember my cousin Brian and I, whenever the creek down here would get real low, because we'd be having a drought, we'd take an old seine net, and we'd get into those spots where those fish were left, and we'd drag them up, and we'd take what we wanted and cast out, the rest. Or use some of the smaller ones, for bait on a trot line or something. We've been drawn. Nothing can stop this venomous poison of sin that we've all been affected by from killing us except God intervene. Except God intervene. And so we witness to people and we testify to them of the power of Christ to save, the power of Christ to remove the condemnation, the guilt, and the shame, you know, of sin, the power of Him to save. And all along, we know, we realize, we understand that it's not us, it's not our power, it's not our words, it's not a frown or a scowl that we may set upon our face to people and really rein in the judgment of God upon them. You know, that's not what saves people. We've got to speak the truth unto them, certainly in love, and judgment is a reality. But we know if they will be saved, it's not by hook or crook on our part, not by buttonholing people into a corner or having them pray some sinner's prayer. I was thinking about that this week. You know, you never find anywhere the Lord, you know, if you'll just pray this prayer, you'll say these things. You know, things that people use to try to, quote-unquote, save other people. We understand that it's the power of God that's manifested. It's the power of God that's brought to bear. It's not us. You know, we may be using it as an instrument of God, but it's not us. It's His power. He must intervene, just as we see here in our text. So here is Christ dying for man's sin, lifted up, having died, being made sin for us, having humbled Himself under the mighty hand of God, now exalted to God's right hand, raised from the dead, seated at the right hand of God. He is, as it were, that serpent, you know, upon a pole there in the wilderness. You know, there's that parallel. You know, He is the one to whom which we look, as John early on in the first chapter, 29th verse, pointed unto Him and said, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." You have sin, the only way to have it removed is through Christ. Sin's brought death, and nothing short of the Lamb of God can take it away. So God sent a whole lot of deadly snakes into the camp of Israel, and they were bitten. And they were lying around in pain. They were saying, "Save us. Save us." They repented toward God. And God sent this pole, and they looked under that pole and lived. And there were some people that were way out there in the distance around the outer rims of the camp that may have had to crawl, you know, to that place to look unto Christ and live. But those people who looked, who believed, had faith in, upon, had faith on God, in God, on Christ, in Christ, their faith was put to the test. What was your faith in? Faith in, you know, the guy here in the camp who can, you know, cut and suck out the poison. Yeah. God said that here we go to, you know, this place where He set up this pole, and there's the serpent upon the pole. He said, "We look and we live." Yeah. This is what God has said. We believe what He's told us. Their faith was put to the test. And we could see people, maybe in our mind's eye, dragging themselves, as it were, you know, to that place that they might live. So here we see the parallel with Christ. It's the same with Him. Men have been bitten. Men have been stung by sin itself. And we can only live by looking unto Him, by acknowledging, they acknowledged their sin, they confessed their sin, and they looked unto that serpent upon the pole. So we confess, we repent of our sins, and come to Christ by faith. And we see the same thing there, that the Son of Man must be, as we see it there in John chapter 3. Here, He says, if I be lifted up. He's not saying it as if there's a chance that He might be, might not be. In John chapter 3, He said, "I must be." He's saying, seeing it happen, He knows this is what's going to take place. "If I be lifted up, will draw all men, you know, unto me." Just as we see those people being drawn in Moses' day in the wilderness, being drawn unto the brazen serpent upon that pole. So we're drawn, not driven, right? I'm not seeking to drive anybody to Christ this morning. I'm not up here pounding upon the pulpit, you know, and seeking to drive people to Christ. But He draws. Some people think that you must drive people unto Him. They preach the law and judgment. They seek to frighten people, you know, as it were, into Christ's kingdom. We know the law is a schoolmaster to lead us to Christ. That's so. We preach the law from that standpoint as a part of the Word of God in its useful way. But people can't be frightened enough. They can't be scared enough into the kingdom of God. Not by us. God can put fear, you know, in a man and draw him unto himself, but we can't drive people to Christ. We shouldn't try to drive people to Christ. We're not trying to draw people to Christ. That's the idea that we ought to have. And that's what Hosea 11, verse number 4 says, I led them with cords of human kindness, with ties of love. I lifted the yoke from their neck and bent down to feed them. So it's the drawing power that we find in this verse of Christ and how gentle it is. You know, we weren't driven with a whip unto him. We were drawn unto him. Because we wouldn't have come of our own will. But he's drawn us. And he saved us in spite of ourselves. Just like the fish. They wouldn't jump into the net. They had to be drawn. And all the more glory unto God, because it's his work and not man's. So who does the Lord promise to draw? He says all men. Brother Mike and I were talking about this the other day. And we must understand here that this statement, this is not in support of universalism that we have here. It's not a promise that every individual who ever lived will be drawn to Christ or come to Christ and be saved. If it were true, be millions of people certainly, you know, just clamoring to come, you know, into the building this morning. But it's not a promise that every individual will be won to the Lord, but rather a promise that all types of people. I mean, what else can we say? What else can be seen here? From every level of life, from every race, from every nation. You know, from people like, you know, Ravenhill, and he was talking about the lady there beside the barrel warming herself, and it found an old dirty cup. Remember talking about that? An old tea bag, you know, from the elderly who are poor and on the streets and the worst parts of the worst cities, you know, in our country, to rich men, kings, even. The gospel of the crucified Christ has been preached in palaces, halls of state. Mighty men of this world, as it were, have come to him. It's been preached in the dirtiest and most dangerous places in the world as well. And the weak and the outcast of this world have come unto him. It's been preached to Americans, and Americans have come. It's been preached to Africans and South Americans and Asians and all sorts of people. It's been preached to children, and children have come. It's been preached to the aged, the not so intelligent, the socially favored, the not so socially, you know, favored, to men of all colors of skin and all different, even beliefs, you know, religious systems of belief, Muslims and Buddhists and total pagans, and men and women from each of these groups have turned and come unto him, have been drawn unto him, to the one who is able to cleanse from sin and lead in the way of life everlasting. So, all sorts of men have come. The question is, will you come? If you've not come, will you come? Does the cross of Christ have any draw for you? Doesn't matter who you are, what your background is, what you've done. Men who've committed heinous crimes. How many people have ever told you, well, you just don't know what I've done. I'm sure if you've witnessed to very many people, you've had them tell you that. And if I came to church, the roof had came in, and I've got to clean up my life. You know, I really appreciate the fact that you've invited me to come to church, but I've got to clean up my life before I can come. All sorts of people are drawn. You know, who can come? Any. Who will? Whosoever will may come. So any can come who will. Any who find themselves caught in the draw of that net. Do you find yourself caught in the draw of that net this morning? That's the question. Have you felt the Lord speaking unto you? Have you felt Him drawing you? Have you felt the weight of the burden of your sin? Have you felt that if you were to die today, that you would be, you're in danger of eternal judgment at this very moment? If you were to die today, you'd find yourself in hell. You have such thoughts crossed your mind. Have you thought, I need to come to Christ. I need to bow before Him. I need to confess my sins. I need to call upon Him to save me. Have you felt yourself in the draw, you know, of that net? Then, if you felt yourself in the draw of the net, you may come. You may come. If He's drawing you, you may come. You know, don't tarry. Don't let anything hinder you. You may come. Don't let something in the back of your mind say, no, that's not for me. I can't come. You may come. You may come. And then lastly, back to the thought of who do we come unto? Who are we drawn unto? The Lord Himself draws us to Himself. We're drawn unto Him. We're not drawn to the church, so to speak. We're not drawn unto some denomination. You know, we're not drawn unto some sect or movement or program. We're drawn unto Him. We're drawn unto Christ. We're drawn unto Himself. So where does this draw lead us unto? Where does this lifting up of Him lead us unto? It draws us unto, leads us unto Himself, unto Christ Himself. That is the heart of the text. Is it your desire that you may know Him? You're being drawn. And that draw doesn't really end. We're still being drawn closer. Still being drawn to conformity. Still being drawn to be made more like unto the image of the only begotten Son. We're still being drawn unto holiness. Be ye holy as I am holy. Even as Christians, we're still being drawn. But if you haven't come to Christ, are you being drawn? Has the Lord spoken to you? Has the Spirit spoken unto you? Are you being drawn? We're being drawn unto Him. We're not being drawn into the Baptist faith, not being drawn into some, you know, creed or confession. We're being drawn into Christ, being drawn to Him upon the cross, who's been lifted up, being drawn unto Him who has suffered and bled and died, who was buried and raised again and is seated at the right hand of the Father. Being drawn unto Him. The value of His death has not changed. People have not changed. Their problems haven't changed. Still need to be drawn for the same reasons, being drawn unto Christ. The attraction of the Lord Jesus Christ is always present, and it's the same as it's ever been. Do you sense that He's drawing you? Don't ask, may I come? If He's drawing you, you can. You may. If you're drawn, come. If He's drawing you, come. Don't wait, don't tarry. Turn away from anything or everything that may be holding you back and come unto Him. So we have the Lord being lifted up. We have a long view of that, His ascension. We have Him being drawn, or drawing men unto Himself. And those are some of the things that we, I think, need to think about, look upon. It's the only thing that I could bring unto you this morning. I wrestled. I wanted to get to a different verse, but I couldn't get beyond this. The Lord knows why. I may not understand completely why myself, but the Lord knows why. So I trust that this has been of some benefit unto all, as we think about our Lord's being lifted up, the hour that He's coming to, as we have encountered it here in the 12th chapter of John, and the victory that is ours in Him. Amen.